Rural areas of North Carolina are not seeing the benefits of the economic recovery that are apparent in places like the Triangle, Triad, or Charlotte. And the same is true for rural to school districts. Their dropout rates are significantly higher than their urban counterparts, and their surrounding communities have higher rates of unemployment. Meanwhile, ongoing racial and socioeconomic disparities mean the achievement gap is as wide as ever. WUNC has been examining one rural district, Vance County Schools, to understand how it's preparing students for higher education and the changing workforce. WUNC's Leonita Inge joins me now to talk about her series, Perils and Promise. Hello, Leonita.
Hello there.
So there are dozens of rural school districts in North Carolina. What was it about Vance County that attracted you?
Well, WUNC, we were awarded this grant to take a close-up look at rural education. We knew the statistics. We knew the dropout rates. We knew the suspension rates. You know, we knew the poverty rate. And when I actually came across a roadmap of need, it was a 2014 report from the Public School Forum. They're actually a 2015 report is actually coming out probably, I think, in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
But the numbers that they crunched, when I would look at each county and go to the bottom, especially when it came to education, Vance County was very, very low.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, when those numbers were crunched, it had the lowest high school graduation rate in the state, and that was somewhere around 64%. And then when I would look at other statistics, when I looked at Vance County, it was down there in the not just the bottom third, the bottom fifth. You know, it was at near the bottom. And I said, you know, I need to visit Vance County. And I, based on the numbers again, we knew that, you know, we would probably see some of the same things because Vance County was not alone down there. You know, there was Bertie and others.
What are some of the big challenges facing Vance County?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is just jobs. So when you have a community where I guess you had several middle-class families and you had jobs that had an income that allowed you to take care of your family. You know, textiles was big there.
Right.
And now it just disappeared. A large company disappeared. And right now, I think the largest employer in Vance County is the school district. And and I guess to get a job in the school district, you probably need a college education for a lot of those jobs.
Well, you spoke with Vance County School Superintendent Anthony Jackson, and he was talking about one of the biggest challenges in rural school districts. Let's listen.
I've learned that children who are in challenging situations are sometimes deprived of true belief and opportunities to pursue possibilities that they can't conceptualize. Coming from D.C. as an individual, growing up in what I considered somewhat of a desperate situation in what people call the projects of Washington, D.C., I've learned that it's truly about helping children close what we call the opportunity gap and having them understand that because you can't see it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
As Vance County School Superintendent Anthony Jackson, he was talking about the challenges facing his rural school district with WUNC's Leonita Inn. So is there evidence now that things are turning around?
That's what I found when I was there. I guess because, first of all, Anthony Jackson is a brand new superintendent to that district. I think that's why it was so hard for me to catch up with him. He was like, I've only been here a week. You know, let me learn the district first. But some things that I've seen, especially in like the last 5 years, and that's why I actually think we're going to see some improvement in numbers very soon, because in the last 5 years, now there are different specialized academies in some of the high schools where students can even apply to take classes in the medical field or even in public safety or fire safety, you know, different areas like that. And then actually this there's an early college program. There wasn't always early college In Vance County. But when they did, the numbers prove that the children are graduating from high school and several are staying on to get their associate's degree. So all that's been happening, you know, about the last 5 years.
Well, rural schools often have to find creative ways to teach with limited resources. Joining me now is Stephanie Askew. She's the principal of Southern Vance High School. Stephanie, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Also with us is Mara Teakin. She's a professor of education at Bates College in Maine, and she wrote the book, Why Rural Schools Matter. Mara, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Stephanie, you taught in private schools for several years before coming to rural North Carolina. Did you have to change your approach from private schools elsewhere to rural schools in North Carolina?
A little bit you have to change, but kids are kids. So my approach has always been child-focused, and I think that serves well in the rural area as well.
What did you find in Vance County schools? I mean, what was your take? And maybe you can tell us what Southern Vance High School is like demographically. Who's going there?
We have approximately 80% African-American, and then we've got 10% Hispanic and about 10% Caucasian. Most of our population has grown tremendously in the last 4 years. We've been up about 140 students from what we were 4 years ago. So the academies are improving the academics at Southern.
The academies within the schools. So tell us how they work and why they're working.
I think they're working because they're focused on the students' interests. So we have a Vance Medical Academy. So any student that in the eighth grade, they apply from the middle schools in the area and some of the private schools as well. We've gotten some of those students to come back. And they apply based on their interests. So if they're interested in nursing or veterinary or becoming a lab technician, those students apply to go to the medical academy. And then those students follow each other all 4 years in the same classes. By the fourth year, they should be over at Vance Granville Community College taking courses there. So you can get the early college experience can happen at Southern as well.
Well, Mara, you have conducted research on rural districts in other parts of the country. How do school districts like Vance County fit in? How do they fit into their surrounding communities? What role does the whole school system play in the development of those communities?
Yeah, so these kind of schools play really important roles in their communities. They certainly play an educational role, of course, but they also play a social role, and they can play an economic role. You know, earlier someone mentioned that the district was the largest employer in the area, so they offer jobs. But they can also support local businesses. You know, for example, the school bus might fill up at the local gas station. I've also found that they play really important social roles. You know, people come together inside the schools, students, of course, but also their families and the parents. People turn out to watch the basketball game. And I found, too, that they can play a very important political role. They can be a place where people feel like they've got a voice. And, I mean, actually, there can be, you know, people are elected to be on the school board to serve as superintendent. And through these kind of political roles, they can give a real important measure of political power to a community.
Well, in talking about the social roles and the socialization and the important part that plays in the development of the whole child, Stephanie, you did something, I think, with the lunch period that allowed students to really gather and socialize a little more.
We have Smart Lunch at Southern Vance, and a lot of schools in Wake County do this as well. But it offers opportunities for clubs and organizations to grow, but it also offers opportunities for tutorials and remediation, because my students don't have a way back to school after school. They ride the bus, so that way we incorporate that hour within each day.
So just adjusting the schedule to allow students to not only participate in clubs and extra activities, but also get the help they need during school hours, and obviously get their lunch finished. You've got an hour and a half because you do want to eat. That was one small change you can make. But then, Leonita, let's talk about the county itself and somehow how these counties are structured, because in some ways Vance County hasn't changed much in decades. And, you know, structurally, how does that political and social picture in Vance County play into what we're seeing in the schools?
Well, when I spoke to the Superintendent Jackson, one thing that he notes often is how close Vance County is to the Triangle. and how close the county is to so many other opportunities. So, and he wants children to realize that in their families, that even though you may live in a county where maybe certain jobs aren't available based on your skill set, you know, if you go about 50 miles down the road, it is there. So one thing, actually a counselor at your high school, let's ask you, Tanis Jenkins, she said in the 10th grade, one thing that's sort of new at your school is they're just trying to get those 10th graders outside that bubble more and more to let them see what's out there and what they can achieve and what they can accomplish. And maybe something may spark like, yeah, I can do that. That's not too far away from home. Because not only did I speak to struggling students who may have been kicked out of school and were at the alternative school, you know, I spoke to students in AP classes. And let me tell you one thing that was very similar. They didn't seem to want to go that far away from home. Mm. They, you know, they were like, I mean, I spoke to a young lady whose GPA is over a 4.0. And I asked, I said, so you're graduating and have you applied for college? And she says, well, I applied for one school. Mm. I was like, man.
What about participation in AP, though? There is a kind of achievement gap there as well, isn't there?
Or that's a national gap, but I also saw it, and you know, I visited an AP statistics class at Northern Vance High School, and you know, only about 25% of the children of color were in these AP classes, but the school, like she said, is like 70-80% children of color, and that goes right down the line nationally. Like most school districts are about 55% rural and urban white, but about 70% of the Caucasian students are in the AP classes.
Mara Tekin, let me ask you about that nationally. How does that play out? Talk about access to things like AP classes, particularly in rural areas. Is this a common pattern?
Well, I mean, speaking nationally as a whole, this definitely is a common pattern in terms of white students having greater access to some of these more rigorous opportunities. And, you know, there is that opportunity gap there. In rural areas, you know, I'm not sure about the trend specifically. I would imagine that it differs a lot rural community by rural community. And, you know, oftentimes what it's going to take is AP teachers specifically reaching out to students of color and inviting them into those spaces and then making them, you know, feel successful when they're there. One thing that we know about rural schools is they differ greatly from place to place. And so it is going to take that kind of very close relational work on the part of teachers and administrators.
At the building level, Stephanie, is this something you've taken on as a challenge?
Yes, we've increased our children of color that are in AP courses, but it comes down to exposure and expectations, I think. So if you expose them in the ninth grade to AP World History, then you're going to build on that. But the expectations and the relationships are essential.
And that's some of what we're seeing in the so-called school-to-prison pipeline debate, where children are being channeled, that is, expectations are being lowered at a very, very early age in the early grades, so that by the time they get to you, you've got a rehabilitation effort underway rather than a confirmation effort. Well, we'll talk more about this with my guest on the Changing Economy, a Changing Economy reporter, Leonita Inge, Southern Vance High School principal Stephanie Askew, and education professor Mara Tekin, as we talk about rural education on The State of Things. Please stay with us. This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow, talking about rural education in North Carolina, the challenges of educating our rural population, the role of rural school districts and their surrounding communities, and the promising ways in which some of these schools are trying to close the achievement gap. My guests are Leonita Inge, WNC's Changing Economy reporter. Stephanie Askew is the principal of Southern Vance High School, and Mara Tekin is a professor of education at Bates College in Maine. Mara, you've also been researching the out-migration from rural communities. How would you say rural schools, or can they? Are they any part of the answer to keeping people in these communities?
Yeah, you know, that's a complicated question. I would think that some people would argue that in some ways, historically, rural schools have actually been part of the out-migration issue, where they have through their curriculum, they've kind of held up urban areas as the places to be, and in some ways really kind of denigrated rural communities, and this has perpetuated the cycle of outmigration. But, you know, I think now we're starting to see a lot more really interesting ways in which schools can play a part of keeping rural students in rural spaces. I mean, there certainly has to be jobs for rural students to do once they graduate, of course. But there are some interesting innovations around place-based education. So this is using a curriculum that's very tied to the local place. So rather than talking about chemistry in the abstract, actually going to the lake and measuring levels of, you know, various sorts of you know, particulates and chemicals and things in the lake. And through this kind of very rich, rigorous curriculum, helping students understand all of the possibilities that exist right around them in their own rural communities. And so that's just one example, but these kinds of things, you know, might be really important ways to help stem that tide of rural migration that some rural places are really experiencing.
Sure, learning more about your place would be one thing, but the other thing that's changed since you say those curricula, in fact, it may have encouraged people to leave, that was an industrial economy where urban centers were the heartbeat of the industrial economy. If you wanted the big job, you went to the city. Now with the innovation and intellectual property, the information age, staying put is not a bad idea. And then it talks about business opportunities right where you are, creating your own business right there. And it seems to me that's an opportunity for local school districts to talk about.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's also some districts that are doing really interesting internships and that kind of thing in their local communities. So, you know, building on this tech industry, using some of these new flexibilities so that students don't really see, I mean, we've often framed to students that after graduation from high school, they've got a choice. They either stay or they leave. And now I think we're beginning to see that there's a lot of gray area there. So it might be that you leave for a while, you go get a college education, and then you return and you bring some of these new skills back to your rural community. And this, I think, is going to really be a key to rural sustainability in the future.
Leonita, you spoke with Dimitri Yancey, who is now a senior at UNC Greensboro. His family lives in Vance County. He left Vance County schools when he reached high school age about 10 years ago. But he says his hometown is now on his mind as he's graduating from college. Let's listen to Dimitri.
My main aspiration is to be a counselor. I'm not sure like what particular field I want to do yet, but I think I want to start off probably like in high schools because I feel like it's important for like students to have like a role model or at least somebody that they can talk to. Because, you know, some students, they might not feel comfortable talking to their teachers or the principal, but I always want to be that person that, like, people can talk to.
That's Dimitri Yancey, who grew up in Vance County and is now a senior at UNC Greensboro. Well, Stephanie, ask you, I wonder, I mean, not what role necessarily or whether or not you feel you have a mission to keep people there, but it seems to me that out-migration might also have an impact on you as a principal in terms of attracting talent, teachers to the area. Is it a problem?
It can be. We're lucky that I have three people that are leaving next year out of a staff of approximately 60, so I'm blessed. But it's hard to get teachers that want to come to the rural area. We're lucky that we have lakes in the area, and we're real close to Wake Forest. But the young teachers, the TFAs, a lot of them live in Raleigh, and then they commute to Vance County.
Is keeping students there, is having people come back, I mean, is that any part of the mission? Not that you don't have enough to do as principal of high school, but would that be some part of the mission?
We have, one of my assistant principals graduated from Southern Vance, went to school at A&T and came back. We've got a social worker who graduated from Southern Vance. So we have a lot of that going on, but I think it's in tune with the mission of the school and then of the district. And Dr. Jackson's done a very good job of changing that mission, so that we're focused on each other.
Leonita, as you've done, you know, your research and looked around at this question for over a year now, do you see anything changing? I mean, resources are an important part of this. Obviously, the legislature had an opportunity to raise taxes. They chose to cut taxes rather than restore education levels to pre-2008 levels. That was a choice this legislature made. To what extent do resources, does money play in this question?
Well, I think money plays a big role. For example, not too long ago, about a year and a half ago, the the Carolina College Advising Corps was able to send a student, a recent graduate from UNC Chapel Hill, to actually sit on your staff, you know, to help advise students on their options post graduation. Now, there are guidance counselors there, but I've spoken with guidance counselors, and we laugh because they say, one guidance counselor in particular says, well, I'm sort of like their parent. Yes. So you're taking care of their day to day, but you still need that person that says, you know what, when you graduate, you may be able to go to this university. Well, in order to get an advising corps member there, that costs a lot of money. Mm. And so actually some big foundations have stepped in and spent millions of dollars outside to say, you know what, I'm going to give this amount of money for UNC Chapel Hill to send 40 students, or for example, across the state to just do this. So outside money has become very helpful. And also, I went to a roundtable discussion about advanced manufacturing and the types of jobs that right. maybe students may want when they graduate. And I think it's just a matter of just bridging that gap, like letting people know what's there and what's available to them. But the main thing, you have to have a high school diploma yeah. and some post-certification as well.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Leonita Inge, Changing Economy reporter for WUNC. Mara Tekin is a professor of education at Bates College in Maine and author of Why Rural Schools Matter. Stephanie Askew is the principal of Southern Vance High School. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.